Good morning. I believe it's time for us to all gather in and begin our worship time together. So good to see all of you, and we have numerous visitors here today, and it's great to have you with us, and I hope you find us a warm and welcoming body of Christians and lovers of Jesus. I want to share a passage with you this morning from Acts chapter 16. This is Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Yes, they were praying and they were singing while in prison. You know, the Bible never establishes physical comfort and our own personal well-being as conditions for worshiping God. And this brings to mind to us our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine and in Russia who are worshiping with us this morning. And they are just as much a part of our overall broad family as every one of us who's gathered in this room. There has been access given to you in the Daily Focus of a link that was sent to us by Joseph and Sonia Rhodes, who are missionaries in Barnaul, Russia, that we support. And I want to encourage you very strongly to read that. It is one of the most powerful emails I have ever read, and it's very, very touching. But they're experiencing a lot of different concerns, financial and others, as to the ongoing prospects for their mission work. And there's just a lot of unanswered questions. But I want to encourage you to read that and read his perspective on faith and read what he says it means to be a lover of Jesus and a follower of Jesus. And so when we think of the Christians in Russia worshiping today, I want us to worship today realizing that we're worshiping with them. Let's also think of the 31 members of the Churches of Christ that we know about in Mariupol in the eastern Ukraine. It has, that city has suffered an enormous amount of devastation. To the best of our knowledge, the 31 members in that city of Churches of Christ are still alive. And they're very likely worshiping with us too today. So I think it's good for us in our hearts to just, as we see an empty space on a pew, just think of those Christians and realize the depth of their faith and appreciate the love that they have for Jesus and allow it to move us. Let's worship.
Good morning. If it's convenient for you, let's stand as we sing. Living by faith.
Oh,
seat. Following this song, we'll have our prayer. Faith of our fathers.
Let's pray together. Father, we're mindful of the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. And so today we want to pray about our church family, about his body, not only here, but all over the world. We're praying for our church here, our church family, that as families do, they have squabbles and struggles, that we as members will put our arms around each other and show each other the love that we have earned and deserved, because we're all your children in one family. For our brothers and sisters who are elsewhere in the world in trouble spots, we're praying for their faith, for their safety, and for a way of peace. For the church in the United States and all over the world, help us know how to be one that the world might believe. For it's in your Son's name we ask this prayer. Amen.
For our scripture reading and lesson this morning, we'll sing "Jesus, Hold My Hand."
As I travel through morning. We do have children's training class available, so now would be an excellent time to head over if you have children of that age. Our scripture today will be out of Matthew. It's Matthew 25, verses 19 through 23. Matthew 25, 19 through 23. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I have made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also had the 2 talents come forward, saying, "Master, you delivered me 2 talents, and here I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master."
Yes, it is cold. But if we've got sunshine, we're okay, right? And we've got plenty of sunshine out there today, and we praise God for that. And better still, we've always got sunshine in our souls, thanks to the Lord. And that is just one of the many reasons that we come together to praise God, to worship Him, is because it gives us joy, as Danny said, even though life outside may not be quite the way we would like it. And today is a great day to gather and worship God, and to enjoy being together as Christians. And what a blessing it is to have all of you here with us today. I'm guessing there's a little under 1,000 here today, give or take a couple of hundred. But we are glad to see more and more people coming out, and there are more coming out. Gradually, every week, we see somebody we hadn't seen in a while. And also glad to have all of you online joining us. We are so glad you can do that. We'd love for you to come be with us, but for some of you, that's not possible, either due to physical condition or distance or something like that. But we're just glad to be together, and this is the day the Lord has given us to worship Him, and we're going to do that in a bit. Well, we've been doing it together. But we got many with us today that we are so happy to have. I'm first going to finish what I started last week, and that is introducing the McGee family, who have placed membership with us now. And Kim is here today, so Kim, you can ask Mike to stand with you if you like. And so everybody get to know this couple. They are now here with us. They've moved here from Vermont, and they are just infectious in their enthusiasm and excitement. And they've even brought others with them virtually. Mike texted me last week that there are people in Vermont, Massachusetts, Alabama that are now watching our worship services, and we like that. We like knowing that there are many others that join us. We could add to that the guys up at the prison. These worship services are broadcast up at the prison, not live, but recorded, and we hear a lot of comments by those guys that they really enjoy being able to watch that and join in. We even have people in other countries, and you see in the bulletin article today, a lady in London, or outside of London, England, has been really watching and studying with us. And it's just great to know that God can use this technology to reach people that we might never. But we're so glad that all of you are with us today. I urge all of our ladies to make sure you are here, if possible, this coming Saturday. Our Ladies' Day is this Saturday, and the numbers of people that are registering are just exploding. I mean, there's a lot of people that have registered. Last count I had was 164. I'm sure that has gone up by now. But Cindy Colley is going to be speaking, and she is one that many of you know from her study materials that the group here uses. But be sure to join in on that. And if you have any questions, April Heaton or Brenda McInnes are going to be out in the lobby, I think, afterward, and they'll be glad to answer any of your questions about that. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening as well. And at that time, we're going to be looking at some leadership traits of Daniel. Daniel in the Old Testament was such an outstanding fellow. And we want to look at some of the traits that made him such a great leader. So I really hope you'll come back and join us at that time. We're also glad to see Carla Davis bring several of her family with us, with her today. It's been a while since we've seen her daughter Ginger, her son Jeff, and Jeff's family, but they're all here this morning. And these are people that are dear to us from many years ago, and just so glad. And all of you who are visiting, glad you're here with us. One other thing I want to say before we get into the lesson. I got a text before worship this morning that Cheryl Shepherd is in the ER this morning with high blood pressure and chest pains. And Jan asked that we pray for Cheryl, and I'd like for us to do that right now. Will you bow with me as we pray on behalf of our brother? Our God and our Father, we are so thankful to be able to come to you like this without an appointment, knowing that we will be heard and seen and that you care about what we have to say. Father, we want to pray on behalf of our brother Cheryl. We pray that you will bless him, Lord, that this issue may not be anything significant, that it can be dealt with easily, and that very soon he'll be given comfort and relief. Lord, the shepherds have been a strong family for your kingdom, and we pray that you'll be with them and watch over them throughout all of this, and be with the many others. Be with our brother Dennis Russell as he prepares for surgery tomorrow in Nashville. Please let that go well, and may he recover very quickly with good results. Father, we pray, bless us all. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word. And we know there's always going to be something good there for us. In preparing this lesson, I Googled the phrase faithful companion, because we're going to be talking about faithfulness. Faithful companion. And you know what? Most of the hits I saw, I didn't go through the entire list, but most of the ones I saw referred to animals. And that's how we often refer to our pets, isn't it? And I found sites, for example, for animal hospitals, for animal rescue services, pet cremation and funeral services, and even a bed and breakfast for pets. Just saying, you may want to check it out, I don't know. But anybody that has ever had a dog, a cat, or some other pet, you may have gotten to that point where you considered them a very faithful companion. And that's why they mean so much to us. We care about them greatly. Well, in the text that Ken read for us a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 25, that word faithful really stands out. Why? Because that's what qualified these two servants to enter into the joy of their Lord. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." And those are words I hope to hear from Jesus one day. I want him to say to me, "Well done, Tim, good and faithful servant." Because that will mean I now have a home in heaven throughout eternity. And so I'm really trying hard in this life to show myself faithful. But what does it mean for a Christian to be faithful? In the past, we have used that word faithful almost as a synonym to mean they're at church services every time. And that's the way I have often heard it used. Are they a faithful Christian? Yeah, they're at the church building every time the doors are open. And I'm not downplaying that at all. I think that is important, that we try to assemble with the saints as much as we possibly can. But I find much more in the Word of God about what it means to be faithful. And so in this lesson, let me share with you three ideas that I find in God's word about what it means to be faithful. And maybe that will help us really examine ourselves again and say, will I hear the Lord say to me, well done, good and faithful servant? Number one, faithful, as I find in the word of God, means being submissive to the Lord. Faithful means that I am submissive to the Lord. The Greek word for faithful is pistos, and it is in that same family of words from which we get the word faith or believe, and it's the idea that I trust somebody. In fact, I trust them to the point that I'm willing to do what they tell me to do. If I believe they are trustworthy, then I will give them my money to invest. Or why I will allow them to put me to sleep and take a sharp knife to my body. You know, if I trust these people, then I'm willing to follow whatever advice they may give me. Well, that's the idea that we're going to find in the passages that I'll share with you right now. And that is that faithful means more than just believing. It means more than just believing. It means a total submission to the Lord. Look with me at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. And I really hope you'll turn to the passages that I'm going to mention. I'll try to give you time to get there before I read them. And that way you'll see whether I'm telling you what the Bible says or not. If I'm not, don't listen to me. But if I'm telling you what the Word of God says, then let's listen to it. James 2, verses 18 and 19. James says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And what James seems to be saying there is, how are you going to do that? How are you going to show me your faith if there is not works? And works here is not the idea that I'm trying to earn my way to heaven, as some have tried to say. I mean, there are those that take that approach. That's not what James is saying. James is talking about obedience. And if you say, well, I've got faith, I just don't have to obey. James says, really? How are you going to do that? I'll show you my faith by my works, but I challenge you to show me faith by not doing things that God has said. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. In other words, are they going to be saved? Are they going to be okay with God because they believe? Obviously not. They are still demons. And the point is, you have to go further with your faith to the point of being submissive, to the point of obeying whatever it is that the Lord asks you to do. Look also with me at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. And again, this idea of going further than just believing stands out. Now, the subject in this passage is going back to the old law. Should we go back to the law of Moses and do the things that are prescribed there? For example, circumcision. That was the most obvious point that was being discussed. And so Paul says this. Galatians 5 and verse 6, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Only faith working through love. And you get that? When faith is working, and especially when it is working through love, that's what counts. It's not these little things I might do here and there and, well, I've done enough. God is going to be pleased with me. No, my faith must always be expressing itself and submitting itself to God and obeying the Lord. Faith working through love. We talked recently about Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. And there God was answering Miriam and Aaron, who had challenged Moses. They said, we're just as good as he is. Why should he always get to lead and make the pronouncements and all of that? And God spoke up. God defended his servant Moses. And here's some of what he said in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. He is faithful in all my house. And what do you think that meant? Faithful. That Moses simply believed? Well, he did believe, absolutely. But also, that whenever God said, do this, then Moses would do it. Now, at first, when he was at the burning bush, he balked a bit, he hesitated, and he was not perfect like none of us are. But God said, this man is faithful in all my house, and I'm pleased with him. That's what I want to be. I want the Lord to say, Tim is faithful in all my house. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, we find another one that is mentioned by inspiration as being faithful. 2 Chronicles 31, we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. And now we're talking about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, we don't talk about him as much, but he was a great king most of the time. Toward the end, he kind of went off the rails a bit. But even then, I think he was okay. But here's what we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 20 and 21. Then Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandments, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. That'd be a good verse to highlight or make a note of, two verses. Because it says here is what leads to our prospering. Maybe not materially. That's not the idea. But in the sight of God, we are blessed. Why? Because we seek to do his will with all of our heart. Every commandment, every law. I want to give God everything that I have. That's the idea of being faithful. And isn't that kind of what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37? He was asked the question, what is the great commandment of all? There were so many. Some have counted 612 different laws and statutes in Judaism. But Jesus didn't hesitate. He said, here it is. This is the greatest of all. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And I have an idea that when I do that, when I love God with everything that is in me, then whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to do it. And if not, I have to question my love and my faith in him. So again, the idea is faithful means being submissive to the Lord. And how can we talk about this point without mentioning Revelation 2, verse 10? This may be the most famous verse in the Bible about being faithful. Jesus there was talking to the church at Smyrna. And listen to what he says there in Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And what he means by that, unto death, is you may have to die. I may call upon you to give up your life in order to be faithful. Can you do that? And we read many accounts in those early centuries of Christendom where people did give their lives. They were faithful in submitting to the Lord and following him, even when it meant possibly losing their lives. And so faithfulness means that I will submit to the Lord in whatever he says. Number two, faithful means using our talents. Faithful means using our talents. And that's the passage that Ken read for us in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. And that's when the master said to two of the servants, well done, good and faithful servant, because they had used the talents well that the master had given them. Look again at what it says there in Matthew 25, verse 31. His master said to him, this is the first, the one that had been given five talents and now brought back 10. Who then is his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, talents, we find that a bit odd, don't we? Because we read that and we say, well, I think of talent as more an ability. And here it's talking about money or some kind of possession. Well, that's how it was originally used. The talentos was a Greek coin. It was a Greek form of currency. And the value of it could change depending on circumstances, as our dollar does. But the idea was it was a significant amount of money. And the master was giving it to each of the servants according to their ability, Jesus said, and said, take this and use it while I am away. And the two who did use it well were regarded as faithful. The one who dug it and hid it in the ground, that did not please the Lord at all. And Jesus' point obviously is, let's use our talent. Now, he's not just talking about money here, because that word is morphed in its usage now. It means our abilities. Some of us have abilities in this, some in that. We all have various talents. Are we using them for the kingdom of God? Are we using them to bring glory to God? Go back a chapter in Matthew and look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46. And again, this idea is brought out well. He's talking about the faithful servant or the faithful steward. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? And so Jesus is going to tell us. Here's what it is. Whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Now, break it down. What does it say? He gave them a job to do. They did it. It's as simple as that. And every one of us have been given talents and jobs to do implicitly. And we do them if we're going to be found faithful to the Lord. Now, some may say, well, you know, you may have talents. I don't. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. In this passage, Paul has been talking about the church and compares it to the human body. And the idea is the human body is made up of a lot of parts, different parts, parts that do different things. But it takes all of us, every one of us, working together. Now, he says this in Romans 12, verses 6 and 7. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And then he gives some examples. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, and then in the very next verse, he gives four other examples. The point is, there's a lot of different gifts out there, a lot of different talents. And I may not know exactly what your talent is, but I know one thing for sure. You have a talent. God has given you the ability to do something which, if you were to use it to glorify Him and Christ, it would make a difference for good. Now, again, you may be saying, well, I didn't see anything in there that says I've got a talent. Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Peter's talking about much the same thing. And he does specifically say this. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as each has received a gift. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Did you miss it there? The point is, every one of us have gifts that God has given us. You're good at one thing that I can't do. Maybe I can do something that you can't. We all have gifts. Am I using it to bring glory and honor to the Lord? Sometimes we read stories in the news about government authorities who are in charge of allocating funds for people that are in great need. For example, natural disasters, let's say. And yet they're not doing it. They're just sitting on that money. There's all kinds of people that could use it that would help them get through their difficult times. And they're just sitting on that money. How do we regard people like that? Well, how does God regard us? If we're just sitting on our talents and not using them to help others around us. Faithfulness means using our talents. And one other idea I'll share with you from God's word, and that is faithful means imitating the Lord. Faithful means imitating the Lord. Now I say that because many of the instances of the word faithful in the New Testament as well as in the Old talk about God. This is what God is. God is faithful. Christ is faithful. And as we read that, we think, well, that's good to know, but it's more than that, because after all, are we not Christians? Does that not mean I am trying to be like Christ? And if the Lord is faithful, then let me do what I can to show that faithfulness to others as well. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, we love this passage because all of us are tempted strongly at times, and yet we know this. One thing we can hang on to. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. In other words, other people have dealt with it. You can too. God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. How many times have we turned to that passage and said, I can do this because God promised there would be a way to get out. Now, he doesn't make it obvious sometimes. I have to look for that. I know some of you enjoy the escape rooms. I've never done that and I'm not interested. But that's what this is all about, isn't it? We are in a room filled with temptations. How do I get out of it? God will put a place there. You may have to search for it, but you know it's there. God is faithful. And that phrase is written for a specific purpose. He'll do it. I know he will. Or think about Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, talking now about Jesus specifically and what he has done for us. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. We all need that high priest. Without Jesus making propitiation for us, we are still in our sins, and that's not a good place to be. But Jesus is a merciful and faithful high priest. What he has done is there for all of us. You're not left out. And it will work for you just as it has for others. And then go to chapter 3, just a couple of verses later in this section. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 in Hebrews. And listen again to what he says about the faithfulness of Jesus. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Have you heard that one before? We read that verse earlier, Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. And the Hebrew writer says, Jesus was that way as well. He was faithful in all God's house, faithful to the one who appointed him. And so let us consider Jesus and let us look at him and see how devoted he was to do the will of God and to share what he had done with other people around him. That's what faithfulness means. We want to be like our Lord. We want to be thinking about others as well as ourselves. It is so common to be disappointed by people. Maybe a repairman says, I'll be there Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Tuesday morning at 10, he's still not there. Or maybe it's an auto warranty. I've got one to sell you if you'd like. An auto warranty. And you say, oh good, I've got one of those. I've got this expensive repair. It'll take care of it. And some loophole. And I'm not saying all of them are this way. There are some legitimate ones, I'm sure. But some loophole says, no, not going to pay a dime, and we're greatly disappointed. Or maybe it's a friend who just abruptly walks away from us, and we don't even know why. People disappoint us. The Lord never will. The Lord will never disappoint us if we're trying to do His will. He is faithful. And that's what we want to be to God. One other verse, Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Barnabas, what a great man Barnabas was. Maybe the most underrated of all the first century Christians. But Barnabas was sent by the elders and apostles in Jerusalem to go over to Antioch. They had heard that the gospel was really spreading among the Gentiles. And they said, Barnabas, you're a good man to encourage people. Go over and check it out. See what you find there. And Luke tells us in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, when Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. And I'm trying to be a Barnabas today, because I'm exhorting you and me. Let's be faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. We know why it's important. We know what is at stake. It is our eternal home. So let us be faithful every step of the way. If you're not yet a Christian, that's where you need to begin, by responding to the one who was so faithful to you. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, enough that you're willing to turn away from sin, repenting of it, if you'd be ready to stand up before this group this morning and say, I believe He is the Son of God, and if you would obey Him by putting on Christ in baptism, we'd love to help you with that. That's what you need to do. The Lord says so. And if you've done that, have you been faithful? Have you continued along the way? Or has sin grabbed you again, pulled you off the path? And if so, then come back. The Lord is faithful to forgive those who turn again to Him. And whatever we can do to help you, whatever we can do to encourage you, please come as we stand together and sing.
Just as I am, you are. Thou art. 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 Thou art
Seth has a great heart. He cares about people, that's obvious. He often will ask us to pray with him for people, and I think that's a great thing. This morning he wants to pray for the family of a man that he met who died suddenly from a heart attack. And he wants us to ask the Lord to bless the family with comfort and care. He also wants to pray for a friend of his that has serious medical challenges, and we certainly are going to do that. And he wants us to pray for Ukraine and Russia and North Korea, all of those trouble spots. And certainly that is something we ought to be doing regularly. So thank you, Seth, for bringing these to our attention. And let's go to God right now and pray for his help. Father, thank you again for being so willing to hear our prayers and to do what is right and best. We trust you, Lord. We know you will do the right thing. We pray for the family of this man who died suddenly from a heart condition. Father, we know their hearts are aching because of this loss. Please comfort them, Father. And for his friend that is dealing with serious medical conditions, Lord, please bless this young man as well, that things may improve for him. And Lord, you know we are praying fervently for the situation in Ukraine. We know that you can raise up leaders and bring them down. We know that you can alter the events on a worldwide stage. Father, please, if it be not against your will, let this happen. Bring peace to that country. Many have already lost their lives. Many have lost their homes. Father, please, send help. And may we do what we're able to do, but bless this world with peace. We know your son is the Prince of Peace, so let us do what we can to share him with others. Bless us, Father. Thank you for Seth. Be with us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing If That Isn't Love.
He left the splendor of heaven, though he is destined to be, was the lonely hill of God. There you lay down his life.
Go ahead and prepare your cups with the bread. I'd like to read from Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you bowed heads with humbled hearts, we ask you to bless this bread that represents your Son's body that was broken at Calvary. Father, may we remember what he has given for us, and that we may take this in a well-pleasing manner. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Go ahead and remove the layer for the juice. And continue reading in Luke 22, verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we again come to you with our bowed heads and humbled hearts, we ask you to bless this cup that represents your blood, the blood of your Son's body that was shed for our sins, that we may do this in a well-pleasing manner unto you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The elders at this time have set aside for our giving. There are many different ways, giving here personally in the church, giving to the office through the mail and online. So let's bless this gift. Most gracious Father, as we come to you again, bowed heads and humbled hearts, we ask you to bless this gift that's given from the heart that is, will be used to further promote your word throughout this world. Father, bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let's pray once again. Our Father, we come to you this morning, and we are thanking you for the numerous blessings you have given us, especially the blessing of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you grow our faith, that not only will we believe in Jesus, but that we will continually live lives of dedication to him, that our obedience will speak mightily to those around us, and that through our faith in you, the love of your Son may shine brightly, and that others will want to come to him as well. Father, we ask again that you be with our brother Cheryl Shepherd and be with those who are treating him. We love him, Father, and we certainly ask for your mercies on him in every way that is in accordance with your will. Thank you, Father, for Seth and for those for whom he has asked us to pray. And Father, there are so many people who are experiencing hardships, and we ask that somehow, as we all experience hardships in this world, that through these, you will be glorified. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.